My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
We're up against it today, Coach. We're a little up against it.
Kyle's a gamer, everybody.
I'm going to do my best, just like the Kings did their best last week.
That's right. That's all we can ask for, Kyle.
121-111 win over the Memphis Grizzlies. The Kings now a game up in the loss column for the number 6 seed, that final playoff spot. And you know, as I was watching last night's events go down at Golden 1 Center, my shock of that game going to overtime and the Kings trailing late in the fourth quarter and trailing to start overtime, I don't have any anymore. I'm no longer like, man, this is so bad. It's just baked in to the analysis of the Sacramento Kings, right?
Yeah.
It's just what it is. Enjoy the ride. They could be boring. The other thing that stood out to me was I think they lose that game a month ago, maybe even 2 weeks ago.
That's very possible. I'd also, you know, Kyle, I don't want to put like so much emphasis on one player, but that is a game where if Keon Ellis doesn't become like, I don't even know, like prime Pat Bev, maybe even better than that. If he doesn't become that player in the fourth quarter and overtime, Desmond Bane hits a couple of shots and you lose.
Yep.
That's it. Like Desmond Bane would have taken over somehow, some way, because that's what's happened every other time this has gone on. Terry Rozier, you just name that person that like got fired up and started hitting haymakers and you're like, oh, that was dumb. How did that happen?
Yep.
Well, that didn't happen because Keon Ellis just goes, oh, no. I've got you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was between him and Malik Monk, it was one of the most impressive two-man takeovers that I've seen, one on one end of the court and the other on the other end.
Yeah, and it was consistent the whole night. Anytime they needed to stop it, here's Keon. Whether he's slowing down Desmond Bane or he's flying down the lane for a block or whatever it was. And this is just, Malik Monk said this in his post-game interview on NBC Sports, that this is just kind of what he expects. Like, this is Keon Ellis.
Yeah.
This isn't some crazy overperforming. This isn't, oh, wow, hey, but out of nowhere, this is kind of what they've come to expect from him. And frankly, same. Nothing happened last night that made me go, oh, wow, I think differently about Keon Ellis now.
Nice. Well, no, I think really we all think very specifically, no, I want him to start. That's why how you think differently. I want him to start from here on out, and he may get that opportunity. Like we'll touch base on this, but it the Kevin Herter situation.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's real tough, Kyle, and I have no idea what we're gonna find out about this. We did not find out any news last night, which I thought was a little strange because, to be honest, it happened a minute into the game.
Yeah,
he went straight to an MRI machine. You know he did. But it looked like it was shoulder injury, but there's a possibility of a wrist injury as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was grabbing his wrist, which was to solidify the shoulder.
Right.
But then they brought out a towel and covered the wrist, which made me think that maybe there was injuries to both. The first thing they were doing was inspecting the shoulder. I thought that that whole entire sequence was odd.
Mm-hmm.
Like Desmond Bane took exception to like the way that Herter was playing defense on him early in the game. He was trying to be physical, right? And then Herter travels the possession before, and Bane walks by and just smashes the ball out of his hands, like hits him in the wrists and like just like knocks the ball out of his hands and like, give us the ball. Then he comes down and the hard foul. I think it should have been looked at a little more closely. I don't know what was going on there, but it did not look like Desmond Bane was happy with Kevin Herter leading up to that play. And the first like 80 seconds of the game, you're like, what's happening here? And then Herter down in a heap on underneath the basket was just not a good look at all.
Yeah, it's just such an odd, because I don't have the sound on, I'm doing other stuff, and I look up and I see Kevin Herter in a like crumbled up on the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, this is bad. And then I get a text from Chris Biederman. It's like, I think Herter hurt his wrist. I'm like, oh man. So I'm expecting he fell or something because I didn't see the play live.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting, and then they show a replay and you're
like, well, even the replay initially, I thought he was holding his wrist. He put his right hand down.
Yeah.
But it was his left hand it was his left side that was beat up.
Yeah. Very, very odd injury for sure. Hoping for the best possible news. That he's healthy and good to go, but we haven't heard anything just yet, which, like you said, is definitely odd. Usually there's something. X-rays came back negative.
They ruled him out really quick, but then last night, I was surprised that we didn't have anything by game, especially, like, look, this game didn't just end. It kept going. I mean, we didn't get to the media room until well after 10. We didn't start getting players and coaches. It was almost 11. Like, it was a late night.
Which is late. That's a very, very late night.
Oh, yeah, it's a late night.
No, I just I thought overall, and we'll dive into the Kevin Herter injury and some of the kind of ripple effects of that.
Yeah.
But to me, I thought we talked a lot about yesterday the belief in the Kings. Do they need to beat the Knicks? And what if they look like this? And what if they look like that? Honestly, last night, do you want to go to overtime with the 8-man Memphis Grizzlies? No, obviously not. But you can't, I think, expecting something better or more, not better, more than that at this point, expecting the Kings to go blow a team out. I'm not going to do that. So what I can do is juxtapose that up against the Pistons game, the Hornets game, one of the Blazers games from this year. They went to overtime with the Blazers once and won and lost to the Blazers another time.
Duop Reef.
Yeah, you can, boy, you can you can juxtapose it up against those games and go, hey, man, that felt like a game that they were going to lose. And they didn't.
There was that point where they got down like 4 points late, and you're like, uh-oh. But I really, what I kept looking at is my 6 quick thoughts and thinking, please don't make me rewrite all of this. No, this is not great. I don't want to rewrite all of this.
Yeah.
And to watch them kind of rally and to be physical. Like I think there is this, like, you know, when you look at a team that's beat up, right? But this is a world that the Grizzlies have lived in all season. And this is now their reality. They literally suited up 8 dudes. And like 8 guys played, that was it. That was the only 8. You know, like Marcus Smart got 2 techs and thrown out of the game.
Hey, can we pause on that real quick?
That guy hasn't played in months.
Shout out to Marcus Smart, dude. At least he gives a damn.
Yeah.
I have no problem. He has, if that had been rando 2-way guy, it's like, dude, what are you doing? But this is Marcus Smart. We talked about culture with the Grizzlies yesterday and how badly they need to establish something there because whatever they had is gone. That swagger that they played with is gone, partially because of the Ja Morant off-court stuff, partially because of the Ja Morant injury, Steven Adams leaving, Dylan Brooks leaving.
Yeah.
We've had all these issues over the last couple of years on and off the court. But, dude, Marcus Smart, he wants to win still. They're a 23-win team, and he is so invested in how that game is going and with the officiating. He's going to go out to center court at a timeout and earn two technicals and get tossed.
Just absolutely bizarre.
At least he cares.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it speaks, like, we talk about their culture has been like a train wreck, but it almost feels like their off-court culture, because we do see, like, there is a clear identity to who the Memphis Grizzlies are.
Mm-hmm.
They are gritty. They battle you. Like, you have to play, if you're up six with 63 seconds left in a game, you are going to have to play every single one of those seconds.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to foul you. They're going to put you at the line. They're going to make you hit your free throws. They're going to get the ball up court and score quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, they know how to be in, like, panic mode. And that's where I think it's good to face all of these different types of teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a substantial difference in talent between the Knicks and the Memphis Grizzlies, the two teams that you just faced.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, like, how much is there? I mean, if you look at how many players are gone from the Knicks and the fact that OG Anunoby was a shell of himself and that mm-hmm. Julius Randle's gone and Mitchell Robinson's gone. So they really That's do become point. Like a one or two man team
mm-hmm.
that came in and they outgritted you, right? They were just more gritty and they were just like, okay, we got you.
Right.
You get to the Grizzlies and it's a very similar style. Like, they just beat you up. They mm-hmm. they hit big shots. They take a ton of threes. And they held on.
It is crazy how much they work for an open three.
Yeah.
That ball hops around a lot.
It's
somebody take it. I'm mostly with you on that. The difference maker though is Jalen Brunson. I like Desmond Bane a lot, but come on.
Yeah.
Desmond Bane is not Jalen Brunson.
No, it's very true. Like, you just have a player who's at an elite level. But if you would switch Jaw out for Desmond Bane, if Jaw would have been able to play, I think you would have felt the same exact thing.
Yeah.
You know, just a team that can maybe win games with one player.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Desmond Bane, like I said, like him a lot. I don't think he's that primary creator that is going to go win a game for you by himself.
No.
As good as I think he is. We're going to have two Jiffy Lube Fast Break players of the game today.
Mm.
We have a Kings jersey to give away at the end of this month.
Yep.
We also have two $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificates to give away today.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing that. We're not giving away the jersey today. We give away that at the end of the month, but you can enter today along with entering to win that $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. So get to ESPN1320.com right now. Go to the Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page. It's front and center. You can't miss it. You click on that, and you're going to enter the code word Kentucky.
Mm.
And that is for Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, who were both excellent last night and helped guide the Kings to a victory. So they are your co-players of the game. Your keyword is going to be Kentucky. Shout out to Jiffy Lube.
There we go.
And then we will have a second keyword for you coming up a little bit later on. But that last night from Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, specifically Malik Monk in overtime where he scored 12 points, that was really, really, he was sensational. He was very good.
He was sensational. And I think the biggest thing for me too is that the way that he was able to take over the game and the way that both De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis cleared out and let him take over the game, it shows you who this team is becoming.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming a team that is very unselfish, that has three elite players that can score at will,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's one guy's night and it's not your night,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I thought was absolutely brilliant about that. Ready to go to break? We can touch base on some Giants stuff.
No, we can put a pin in the Giants stuff, and then we'll also put a pin in what we learned about the Kings last night. We will have six quick thoughts. Let's dive deeper into this Kings 121-111 win over the Grizzlies. We'll also talk a little bit of baseball today, and we got some Niners stuff as well. The Niners made a boo-boo, and they lost some draft capital because of it. We'll tell you all about it coming up. We're rocking with you till noon on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You're dang right. He's James Hamm. He's right there. And he's got six quick thoughts for you from last night's Kings win over the Memphis Grizzlies. A lot to dive into, but let's get James' reaction from postgame.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Six quick thoughts could be sponsored by you.
That's right.
If you want to sponsor the segment, reach out. James, I would like you to do six quick thought number one.
Domantas Sabonis cruised to his 50th consecutive double-double in this game, finishing the night with 25 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 assists. It's only the third time since the merger that someone has had 50 consecutive double-doubles. Kevin Love, who holds the record at 53, and Moses Malone, who had 51. Pre-merger, it's still Wilt at 277 consecutive double-doubles. I expect Domas to get there.
Yeah, why not?
But absolutely bizarre what he's doing. It's every single night he comes with it, like a mentality, a workmanlike mentality. 25 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists. His assist numbers are down a little bit over the last week, but this was a crazy performance by a NBA, an all NBA center.
I didn't think it was his best.
No, it wasn't his best.
Yeah, I wasn't super blown away. Like, obviously, the numbers are great, and he had a couple of big rebounds. He did a really nice job working inside, drawing fouls, getting the line, hitting his freaking free throws, 13 of 15. That's what I'm freaking talking about. But no, I definitely didn't feel like down the stretch of that game in particular, it was definitely more Malik Monk. It was more De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox hit the third quarter? He hit the three consecutive threes. To help kind of stretch the Kings' lead a little bit. 10 assists from De'Aaron, too.
Yeah, but yeah. There's something that after the game, Domantas Sabonis won the defensive player of the game for Mike Brown, which I think a lot of people were like, wait a sec, Keon Ellis was incredible. Sabonis held Jaren Jackson to 8 of 27 shooting.
Well.
And not only that, Kyle, he held him to 2 rebounds.
Well,
and the 2 rebounds, I know he's not a good rebounder, but there was nowhere for him to go. Like, if you watch John Conchar, like, I want him on my team.
Conchar's a beast.
He's so gritty and crazy and, like, does crazy things all the time. And he's got, like, super long arms. He went up and grabbed rebounds. He stole the ball from people. You're just like, wow, why is John Conchar so effective? And he's just a gamer. That's what, like, I gather from him. He's just another one of those guys that the Memphis Grizzlies find.
Yeah.
But
they got a lot of those dudes.
Yeah, but when he has 10 rebounds and your starting center has 2, that's a problem. And again, I'm going to give Sabonis some of the credit for that.
Sure. Go for it.
Well, I mean, look, he went 1 of 6 from 3. 1 of 6.
As he is wont to do.
Okay. So that's one thing, right? So we can kind of say, well, that's... I mean, his three-point shot looks so hideous, it's ridiculous. I don't even know what's
happening.
He stinks.
Let's just pause 6 quick thoughts. Jaren Jackson Jr. stinks. Jaren Jackson Jr. is JaVale McGee with better PR, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Jaren Jackson is.
I knew this was coming.
He's not. He just, every time he starts dribbling on the perimeter, I'm like, good defensive possession. You won.
Yeah.
8 of 27 and 2 rebounds from your defensive player of the year center?
Yeah, he gave up 25 and 18 to the opposition.
I mean, dude.
He had a couple of blocks on Sabonis.
Yeah, boy, did he.
Yeah, but it's like,
what
okay.
An impact.
It's like, okay.
I said, Sabonis wasn't bad. I'm not trying to say that. It just, I did not think it was his best.
My point was that
it wasn't his best 25 and 18 of the year.
No, but my point is that Jaren Jackson had 21 other shots. He had 21 other shots outside of the bad, like, push shot three-pointer that he throws up there. Who told him he's a three-point shooter?
I have no idea.
Like, there was some point where he was good at that, but whatever he's doing now, it's like a step in three. It's, like, bizarre.
The worst thing that could have happened to Jaren Jackson, I know we got to go here, but in the 2019-20 season, on 6.5 threes a game, he shot 39%.
Yeah.
The four seasons since then, naturally, it's not going to load right now, but 28.3, 31.9, 35.5,
32.8. You know what he is, Kyle?
He's JaVale McGee with better PR?
He's that guy on your softball team who gets lucky one time and hits a home run, and then from that moment on, you might as well not invite him out anymore because all he does is fly out to center field. That's what, like, it's just bad.
A lot of
like,
pop-ups is short.
Yeah, just get inside and go do some work. And he tried against Sabonis, and I thought Sabonis shut him down.
Yeah.
So
no. He is not a worthy adversary for Domantas Sabonis. Number two.
Hit the boards. Keegan Murray came out aggressive on both sides of the court. It took him a while to get a shot to fall. But he made up for it by hitting the glass. 6 of 17 shooting wasn't great, but 15 points, 10 rebounds. He missed two free throws late, which were like stunning because he's a good free throw shooter, and like left the door open. He went 1 of 4 from the free throw line, 2 of 8 from 3. But like, look, we're watching him try to fight through something, and I hope that we see sort of that like work out here for him soon.
Yeah, good all-around game from Keegan last night. Number three.
Dealer. De'Aaron Fox didn't have his normal bounce. He looked like, but he looked to get his teammates going. Fox scored 23 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals. He did have 6 turnovers, 8 of 16 from the field. He looked like he wasn't ready to score. He was at 3 of 5 from the field in like the mid to late third quarter. And then he ended up hitting 3 threes in a row and kind of woke him up.
Mm-hmm.
Weird game for Fox. He looked exhausted at some point, and I don't know why that was.
I think I said this a while back, and I'll say it again here. The evolution of the superstar is, okay, you have to put the ball in the basket. But then beyond that, when that's not working for you, how do you impact the game? And you do that with 10 assists and 7 rebounds. He had 6 turnovers, suboptimal. But when you're playing not your best game and you're shooting 57% from three and 50% from the field, you're posting a double-double and 3 rebounds shy of a triple-double, like you will take that.
Yeah, I agree. Battle through. Malik Monk didn't have a great shooting night early on, but he persevered and came away with a tremendous 28 points, 6 assists, 6 rebound night. What he did in the overtime was
incredible.
Absolutely wild, but also he had 3 dunks in this game that were flat out nasty.
He's so fun.
He had the alley-oop. He had the two-handed flush on the baseline, which was right over Jaren Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had one other dunk that was just wild.
The one after the whistle might have been his best of the night.
And then he had the one after the whistle. Yeah.
It's crazy when he dunks it. Jameis Ramsey did this the other day, too, with the Raptors.
Okay.
Where he, I'm pronouncing that incorrectly.
Oh, Jamias?
Jamias, thank you. Jeez Louise.
Former King?
Yeah, King's legend, Jamias Ramsey. I know the chat makes fun of somebody for pronouncing his name wrong, and I couldn't conflate which one was correct and which one wasn't. But anyways, doesn't matter. When he had a dunk the other night where he threw the ball through the hoop, and it went like 100 miles an hour. It didn't touch anything on the way to the ground. It's crazy. That's what all of Malik's dunks do.
Yeah, it's almost like a volleyball spike.
Yes.
Yeah, the way that, and it's because his vertical is I mean, like it, Malik Monk is 6 foot two.
It's silly, the bounce.
Yeah, what he can, like the height that he gets, he really, it's like he's spiking a volleyball.
Yeah. All right. Number five?
Number five. We'll take this real quick. Knocked off kilter. The Kings looked shook in the first quarter. They did, after Kevin Huerter went down. You could tell they were out of it for a good, 8 minutes. They were kind of stunned, and especially with the amount of pain Kevin was in. And I don't think anyone was they're what happened? They were confused,
it felt
like. Plus, they didn't run a bunch of replays of it. And so I think a lot of the teammates were just, overly concerned. We don't know what just happened.
Yeah.
And this is a tight group. Like, whether Kevin Huerter is hitting his three-point shots or not, he's still one of the boys. And, I think that they looked off in the first quarter, and then they had to recover from that in second, third, fourth.
Yeah, and I think the building, too. You're all amped up. It's been player intros. You're less than 2 minutes into the game, and then all of a sudden, a starter who's been very good for this team recently is down in a heap, and nobody's really sure what happened. That's tough. So, yeah.
Wild.
Good on him for fighting through that. Number six.
The fill-in with Kevin Herter out of action. Keon Ellis came up big. He started the second half, stuffed the stat sheet with 5.7 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 blocks, and a steal. They took one of his steals away and put it in the block category. His defense on Desmond Bane was off the charts. And there's something else that Mike Brown did here really quickly. He put Keon in very quick to like fill in. And then he tried to get Keon into Kevin Herter's rotation. So it looked a little weird and people were like, hey, how come he's not in the game in the early second quarter? That's what he was doing. He was trying to get him back into Kevin Herter's starter rotation.
Yeah, right. We need to hit the break. Let's talk about the Kevin Herter injury, what it means for Keon Ellis, and what it means for the rest of the rotation as well. We'll do that next on ESPN 1320. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Not to brag, but I did a little research.
Oh?
I'm going to name some of the players who have 5 blocks in a game this year.
Players that have had 5 blocks in a Kings uniform.
In a game this year.
Oh, in a game this year.
Yeah, not Kings, just NBA players.
Okay. I thought we were going to go like Greg Ostertag.
No, I can do that next, though.
Randy Brewer.
That would also be a fun game to play. Let me get through this first.
Okay.
Then we can, while we're vamping, I can look up that specific thing. Okay, so Keon Ellis last night had the 105th game of the year with 5 or more blocks. It's not 105 players. So, for example, Victor Wembanyama
has like 14.
19.
Wow.
19 games with 5 or more blocks. And there's in among them 7, 8, 6, 10, 7, 6, 6, 7.
Oh, wow.
Just ridiculous.
Okay, so we have him. We have Chet. Chet is going to have a. And Brook Lopez.
Chet, Brooke Lopez is in here, gosh, nine times. You mentioned Chet.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get, there we go. That, oh my God, that's so much better. Yeah, Chet's on here seven times.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Triple J, he's got three.
Okay.
Jokic on here once.
Oh.
Got a bunch of Daniel Gafford. We've got a couple Joel Embiid, some Anthony Davis. More on Anthony Davis later. Nick Claxton, Scotty Barnes. Precious Achiuwa, obviously.
Wow.
Bam Adebayo has one. Jared Allen has one. Giannis Antetokounmpo has one. Asar Thompson has a couple.
Does Chris Boucher have one?
Chris Boucher does not.
Oh, no. Wow.
Clint Capella. You're noticing a pattern. Walker Kessler.
Oh, Walker.
Kristaps Porzingis, Isaiah Stewart. Oh, both Thompson brothers.
Oh, Amen and the Thompson
Asar.
Twins?
Yeah. Amen and Asar both have five block games this year. Miles Turner has some. Fred VanVleet has one.
What?
And then there's Keon Ellis just hanging out.
Hell yeah.
Hanging out amongst the trees. It's just Keon and Fred VanVleet, the starting backcourt of the all five blocks team.
Well, we've talked about this throughout the season, that Malik Monk still leads the Kings in blocks.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah.
Keon's coming for that spot, though.
He is. Actually, Malik talked trash and said he was going to beat De'Aaron Fox's record because De'Aaron Fox has the most blocks for a Kings player 6'3 or below.
Nailed it.
In a season with 45.
You're welcome.
Oh, no. Keegan Murray has overtaken Malik Monk.
Oh, snap. We've got drama.
He's got 42. And actually, Domas has 39.
Wow. Look at this.
And Malik Monk is at 37.
Oh, Malik got passed twice.
Malik, pick up your game, bro. Like, come on now.
He has 15 games to get nine blocks?
Yeah, he's going to. Yeah, he's five blocks behind Keegan Murray.
Okay. Do you want to do the Kings version of this game? Players with five blocks. In honor of Keon Ellis, we will talk about him very likely moving into the starting lineup, but then the ripple effect down the rotation from Kevin Huerter's injury, assuming, again, we don't know anything about the injury.
Yep.
We don't know. He might be back tomorrow in Toronto. Couldn't tell you. So we will have that news for you as soon as it comes out. We'll have it for you and we'll discuss it, but we're going to operate as though he's going to be out a little bit of time.
Yep.
And we can adjust accordingly. But real quick, you wanted to give me some names. You said Greg Ostertag. He has one five-block game in his career.
Okay.
With the Kings.
With the Kings. And do you have all of the Kings? How many times has it happened with the Kings?
So do you want just Sacramento?
Just Sacramento era.
Okay, hang on. That changes things. 84, 85?
85, 86.
85, 86. Okay, there we go. All right, we have, waiting for it, there were like 150 something.
Really?
In the all Kings era. For some reason, there we go. Okay, we're locked and loaded. Here we go. We have 121 such games.
Okay.
In Kings history. As far as number of players, I couldn't tell you. There's a lot.
Okay, I'm going to guess Otis Thorpe is probably one of the leaders.
Otis Thorpe is not on here.
No, he never had a five block game.
Never had a five block game.
Okay. I definitely think Keon Clark.
I thought you were going to say Keon Ellis. I was like, yeah, nailed it. That one's in there.
Yeah.
Keon Clark has nine such games.
Okay.
I'm going to take guesses from the chatty house, too.
I'm going to guess it. Domantas Sabonis.
Domantas Sabonis.
No. I'm sorry. DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins does have one.
Okay.
Samuel D'Alembert was a guess in the chat. Nailed it.
Yeah, Sammy D'Alembert.
That's a great guess from our guy Trojan.
I'm going to guess at Ron Artest.
Ron Artest.
That sounds weird, but I'm going to guess.
No. No really? Players with an A last name.
Okay, what about Chris Webber?
Chris Webber is in there. Somebody in the chat guessed Dwayne Coswell. He is in there.
What about Dwayne Schensis? The late, great Dwayne Schensis.
I don't see him in here, sorry.
Okay, what about Randy Brewer?
Randy Brewer. I feel like you're going for the deep
obscure
cuts. Yeah, no dice on Randy Brewer.
Really?
Yeah.
Olden Polonese?
Olden Polonese is in here. How many did he have? Two such games.
This is weird. Wayman Tisdale had one. I remember. I think he had a seven block game.
It is not listed here.
That's erroneous. Yeah, they had a big game. Let me think. Who else? We said Scott Pollard, right?
Yeah.
Vlade Divac.
Of course.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Oh, Brad Miller, big boy.
Brad Miller, no.
Wow. Come on, Brad.
One. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to just name some of the weird ones to me.
Yep.
Damian Jones.
Of course.
Like, why not? Golden State Warriors legend. Alex Len has had one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We forgot Alex.
Chimezie Metu.
Oh, yes.
Had a five block game.
Freeport.
Yeah. Just
you have any other weird? Just throw me some random. Oh, of course. It's on.
Terry Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Terry Tyler.
The great Terry Tyler. Yeah. LaSalle Thompson did it.
Oh, Tank Thompson. Times. Yep.
Brian Skinner.
Yes.
Isn't Brian Skinner the Paul Walker's character in Fast and Furious?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. So Brian Skinner, the funny thing about Brian Skinner, you know when someone gets fouled and they go for the and one and everyone stands around while they do a layup and you're sitting there like, why didn't you go up and block that?
Mm-hmm.
Brian Skinner blocked more attempted and ones than any player I've ever seen. He never gave up on a play. He was part of the Chris Webber trade with Philadelphia. It was him, Corliss, and Kenny Thomas that came over.
Wow.
And I think Matt Barnes went with Chris Webber and one other dude.
Sure.
Yeah. It was they broke Webber's contract up into three. Skinner was fun. He played a lot of places.
This one's shocking to me, just given how his tenure in Sacramento went versus the expectation. Dwayne Dedman.
Oh,
Dwayne Dedman racked up a five block game.
Yeah.
Purvis Ellison.
He's in there calling you. Purvis. Purvis didn't play in Sacramento very long.
Francisco Garcia and Rudy Gay.
Francisco.
Marvin Bagley.
That's fun to say.
Marvin Bagley had one.
Oh, Marvin Bagley has one.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun.
All right. That's it. We're done. And now Keon Ellis has added his name to that illustrious list of Sacramento Kings with five block games.
Oh, Michael Bradley. Thank you. That was the player that was part of the Webber deal. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk about Keon Ellis, who will now very likely, and again, so the reason we were doing that is because Keon Ellis had five blocks last night. He entered the game very early when Kevin Huerter went down in the first couple of minutes with what the team classified as a shoulder injury. They ruled him out pretty quickly, but there was no info after the game. No negative x-rays, no he's got an MRI tomorrow, we're awaiting results, nothing. So we're still waiting on something on Kevin Huerter.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about this is not under or from the standpoint of, hey, he is definitely out X amount of time.
Nope.
It's just some amount of time. I think that Keon Ellis going to the starting lineup is the no-brainer. Like, that's an easy call.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the rotation looks like after that, with Trey Lyles continuing to deal with a knee injury, Sasha Vezenkov dealing with an ankle injury, and now Kevin Huerter potentially dealing with a shoulder or wrist injury. What is...
It's Chris Duarte time.
Sure.
I mean, Chris Duarte has to step up. Like last night, I thought Chris Duarte, he played 18 minutes. He was really good.
Yeah, he was good.
Like, he came out, he started hitting threes. When he doesn't try to do too much, I enjoy watching him play.
Yeah.
Like, he is a knockdown catch and shoot 3-point shooter.
Yep.
But when he tries to do too much, you're like, no, too much. The real answer, Kyle, is Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes have to step up. There's no more lag here. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a moment where we talked about this earlier, where if you look at the two games last week, the back-to-backs, the one where Keegan missed and Huerter and Barnes like lit up the Bucks, mm-hmm. and then the next night when Huerter was out and you had Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes combined for 42 points on like 11 of 20 from three, it's the problem can be solved. It's sitting right there in front of you.
Yep.
It was Keon adding a defensive player to your starting lineup, and the way that Mike has used Keon the last couple of games, he's not afraid to put him out there for 34 minutes. He's not afraid to put him out there as a closing lineup.
I know.
And so if he had that fear, if he had that like, oh no, I don't know what I should do here,
mm-hmm.
Keon is quickly eliminating that. And so for me, run the kid out there. Like, let him play major, major minutes and let Malik Monk play 30-something minutes. This is you're gearing up for the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
There is no letting off the gas at this point. Like, it's go, 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 go. There, you know, you have to win games. You got to go with your best five, and then you got to put a whole lot of Malik Monk out there and hope that you can get whatever you can get out of some of these other guys.
I think you made a great point yesterday when we were talking about this very thing with Keon Ellis going into the starting lineup. And you mentioned this is not a Kevin Huerter specific thing. Right now it is because he's hurt.
Yeah.
But it was one night he started, he being Keon, one night he started for Kevin Huerter, one night he started for Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And the common denominator was Harrison Barnes going off in the one game.
Yep.
Or Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray going off the game that Kevin Huerter was out. And then Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes playing well the game that Keegan was out. Like, you're right, man. That's what this comes down to. You have to eat minutes with somebody. Like, it has to be Chris Duarte. Maybe you see some bigger lineups. Maybe they roll Alex Len out there a little bit more. Maybe Davion sees a couple more minutes, whatever it winds up being. Because you have to fill minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from a production standpoint, you know what you're going to get from Keon. He has been nothing but, I think, positive for this team, specifically defensively. And now, you know, hey, Keegan Murray, you're supposed to be the guy here. Go be that. This is the time for that. Harrison Barnes, you have been a very, very good player in this league for a long time. Go, not ever, not needing 20 a night, but just go be more aggressive. Hunt your shot a little more.
Yeah.
I think if they do that, they're going to be fine. But if you go out and you're getting 8 shots from Keegan Murray and you're getting 6 shots from Harrison Barnes and they're combining for 4 rebounds, and that's not going to get it done.
No.
It's not happening.
No, it's all hands on deck at this point, and you hope that maybe there is a Kessler Edwards sighting. Maybe there is someone else that just finds his way onto the court and plays well. I mean, again, maybe you can go against one or two teams. You can bring in Alex Len and play him and Sabonis side by side for 5 or 8 minutes.
Right.
You know, in a game, 4 minutes the first half, 4 minutes in the second half, and you can just steal minutes. It's just, you're going to have to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing, losing Trey Lyles.
Yeah.
And lose a lot of your creativity. But for all the people out there who are so frustrated with Kevin Huerter this season, you got to remember, shooting 36% from 3, but he's also 6'7" and plays the 2 and the 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the small ball lineups with him look a lot better than a lot of the other small ball lineups. And
what? And this all comes back to, again, conversations we've had before. Nothing has underscored the Kings' lack of depth on the wings more than the Trey Lyles and Kevin Huerter injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody we're talking about right now, Alex Len, okay, that's a center. But Davion Mitchell, guard. Kessler Edwards, okay, legit wing, but really unproven, still really raw as an NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Colby Jones and Mason Jones and Jalen Slauson.
And Jordan. Well, he's a two-way, but...
Yeah, and Jordan Ford, if you want to get creative.
Yeah.
And then JaVale, who's a center. Like, the lack of players over, like, 6'5", is...
Well, when you lose a 6'7", a 6'9", and a 6'8" guy...
Yeah.
Like, where do you go? It's... And, like, look, this might open the door for Sasha Vezenkov to step up and be, if he's able to get healthy...
Sure.
...to step in and actually, you know, become the shooter that they need. Like, you don't
that
know.
Would be remarkable
if he comes full circle.
Well, if he just came back at all, that would be a big deal.
I'm getting that. Like, I think he is actually practicing. He's just not ready yet. We have not been told that he's been cleared to resume basketball related activities and stuff like that.
Mm.
So, but we also had one of the assistants was reffing a game the other day, and Sasha fouled somebody, and I'm like, wait. Huh? So I think it's possible he's getting closer, but I just don't. I mean, he's got a long way to work himself back into shape.
Mm.
He's been out for weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hasn't been able to do cardio and everything else because it's an ankle injury.
That'd be crazy if he just came back from this ankle injury and went, oh, yeah, hey.
I want to make 10 points a game down the stretch.
I want to make 2 threes a night. a couple of putbacks.
Oh, he's fun. Like,
I know it.
But. You know, you need these other players back. You specifically, you need Trey Lyles back very badly.
Hey, quickly, unrelated to any of this, We got some Giants and Niners stuff to get to. I want to talk about Malik Monk and his terrific year. We have another Jiffy Lube Fast Break player, the game coming up. We got a ton to do. You said something that caught my ear when you walked in, and it so caught my ear that I wrote it down, and I had forgotten about it until right now. What do you call the things you're wearing on your legs right now?
Oh, I'm wearing shorts, but I called them short pants just because I was being funny.
Okay.
No.
That was gonna be a crisis. This is gonna be a problem if you called shorts short pants.
No.
Oh, okay.
That was me being ridiculous.
Okay.
I decided it was short weather today.
Yeah.
I wore shorts to work.
Yeah.
I have some pasty white legs.
That's fine. I don't begrudge the wearing of shorts. I know there are people who are like, adults don't wear shorts. Like, yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Shorts are great. I'm really glad you don't call them short pants.
Oh no, I was just messing with you.
Whew. Hey, speaking of things that shouldn't be said, I saw a Twitter account yesterday.
Oh no.
At NFL Notify. Two reporter related things as far as the NFL goes. So I hope you take an interest in this. It got retweeted by a person who creates 49ers content as well. I'm not going to name them because they're very kind to me. But at NFL Notify tweeted, breaking rumor.
Oh, no.
And then it was that the 49ers are working out a trade for Zach Wilson. They're going to send a second.
I just want to unplug and walk out the door.
Breaking rumor? That's what we're doing now? Hey, breaking rumor. Kessler Edwards is going to start.
What was the...
It's a rumor I just made up and broke.
So what was the breaking rumor? What was
that it? That the 49ers are acquiring Zach Wilson for a 7th round pick.
Oh, no. Are they?
I sent that to people who know things and they went, no.
Well, you said no. That's just a breaking rumor. That's not
right.
It's not an actual rumor.
Right? Yeah. Rumor. I don't.
Oh no,
dude. And then the other one was Mia O'Brien, is a television journalist in Jacksonville. She was the one who tweeted that the 49ers had talked to the Jags about trading Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah. And it was for the number 17 pick and Jones.
So this is new. So that was yesterday.
Okay.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
She initially tweets that, oh yeah, per source, the Jags and Niners talked about a Brandon Ayuk trade. There was mutual interest between the teams. And I get a message from our Jags Wire editor, and he's like, hey, she's full of it. Nobody believes anything she says ever.
Oh.
He's like, don't run with this. I was like, yeah, I wasn't planning on it, but you got it.
Got it.
Local TV people, typically, it's like, I'm going to wait for somebody more substantial to corroborate that.
Yeah.
Before I'll go run with it. That's how I am on my site. Or at NinersWire.com. So then yesterday, like you said, she then tweets, because somebody asked her about it again, and she said that the deal, this is her words, the deal was reportedly the number 17 pick in Zay Jones for Brandon Ayuk.
Mm.
Aren't you doing the reporting? Why would you be saying reportedly if you're doing the reporting? If you got a text from somebody with the Kings right now that said Kevin Herter is going to play tomorrow, I don't know, I'm making stuff up. If you got a text and said Kevin Herter is going to play tomorrow, you would not report that as reportedly Kevin Herter is going to play tomorrow.
No, if someone else got that story, I would say reportedly.
If someone else, right. But there's no story that hadn't been reported anywhere else. She was putting that out.
Oh my goodness.
I just, man. news breaking this time of year is just insane.
That is, you know, I think it's funny. Like, people want to be part of it.
I know, and I get it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, as a reporter, there's nothing worse than, like, there's been one or two seasons, like, where you've got nothing.
Sure.
And it's just crickets, and you're like, man, I've reached out to everyone I got, and I have absolutely nothing. There's nothing worse than being left out in the cold. Or when you do have something, and then it dies because you can't get it confirmed. Those are rough, too.
Yeah.
Right? So, but you just can't make up stuff. You can't make up stuff, and you can't report it as fact or breaking rumor or...
And maybe, and again, this is stuff that, like, you learn this in school, dude. Like, if you went to school for this or you've done journalism at all, you know this. Maybe she's hearing that from someone with the Jags.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she talks to a locker room attendant or whatever. But, for example, let's say I'm hanging out at the arena and King's locker room attendant A comes up to me and says, "Hey, man, I'm a big fan of you and James. Love the Insiders." Which somebody did, by the way. I forget. I think his name was Matt. I'm terrible with names. He was wearing this sick olive green King's jacket. And as he was walking on the elevator the other day, he was like, "Hey, love the Insiders. Big fan." It's like, my dude. Anyways, so that happens sometimes. And this locker room attendant walks up and goes, "Hey, I love the Insiders. I heard Mason Jones say that he's starting tomorrow."
Mm.
I would not, as Kyle Madsen of ESPN 1320 Sacramento, who has literally in my Twitter bio, "not a journalist," I would not then run out and go, "Mason Jones is starting per source." That doesn't work. That's not. Now, if Monty McNair or Mike Brown comes up and goes, "Hey, Kyle, we'd typically tell this to James, but we're telling you this time because James missed that practice."
That's right.
Mason Jones is starting. You can send that out.
Mm.
Great. Wow. Straight from the head coach. Incredible. Put that on. So that's the other problem with all this.
Of course.
Is you have people with access, and that's great. And they take anything and report it because, like you said, they want to be part of it.
They want to be part of it. And, it's a frustrating thing when you're not a part of it. And a lot of, people ask all the time, how do you build sources? How do you get sources? How do you get... well, first of all, I'm not giving you any of my sources. That's number one. Number two, I don't personally believe that there are quote-unquote sources. I believe that there are relationships that you've built and people trust you.
Yes.
And they want you to succeed, and they want information from you, and they want a free-flowing exchange of information.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, a certain amount of, hey, look, you've got to build that relationship and that trust with somebody.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't just walk in the building and go, "I have sources now."
Yes.
"Hello, dude, do you want to be my source?"
Yes. "Would you like to be my source?" It's like you're handing over a little Valentine. "Would you like to be my source?" No, that's not the way it works at all.
No, not at all. Anyways. We'll do a whole fun, we'll get this summer when there's not a lot going on, we will do a deep dive on just covering. We will bring in somebody else who covers whatever team or sport, and we will do a little just Q&A about covering teams. I think that would be fun.
No, it is fun.
Maybe that's just fun for journalism dorks, but
mm-hmm.
I think it sounds great. Anyways, we will do that at some point this summer. Mark it down. Put it in the idea bucket. Malik Monk having a huge year. What does that mean for his future? Also, some news with the 49ers yesterday. They made a boo-boo. And the Giants made an actual signing. Weird timing, but they made a signing. We'll talk about that. Tons coming up in the second hour on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.